You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Several years ago, a professor of history from the University of Rochester in New York authored a provocative book. This paperback blockbuster was hailed as a succinct and penetrating analysis of our current social situation. Time Magazine and Newsweek, The Wall Street Journal, and other prestigious institutions, plus high-ranking professors at such schools as the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, acclaimed this work as an accurate evaluation of events now unfolding in our society. This 400-page bestseller documents how the present American culture is now growing increasingly soft and quite possibly even disintegrating. Of course, this is a very serious charge, and such a claim is much easier to make than to substantiate. The author of this book, entitled The Culture of Narcissism, vividly demonstrates how nowadays the majority of our society is interested neither in their nation nor in their neighbor. And instead of sacrificing to establish a solid foundation for the family and also for our society, the majority of us are now all wrapped up instead in what we can do for ourselves, what we can get for ourselves, and how much we can achieve for ourselves. Just forget about the needs of others or even our nation. The history of our nation demonstrates that in the early days, the situation was quite otherwise. Our fragile society survived primarily because people sacrificed and helped one another. Neighbors banded together, and when someone did a good deed, nobody asked or even expected to get paid. Today things are quite different. We hardly know our neighbor, and instead of being concerned about his or her welfare, and instead of trying to encourage and lift one another's spirits, we are instead focusing all our efforts upon ourselves. Who cares about anyone else today? We are the new generation. Get all you can for yourself. We have swallowed the devil's hook, and we now spend the majority of our time not seeking the good of others, but instead we are now preoccupied and even paranoid about constantly getting in touch with our own feelings. According to the author of this highly acclaimed and best-selling book I just mentioned, in our society we have sold ourselves into slavery to therapists, including every type of therapy imaginable, even the most bizarre. This movement, according to author Christopher Lash, is not only replacing godly religion, it is actually anti-religion. In this therapy movement, people are no longer encouraged to support the needs of others. Any other cause besides one's own is no longer considered important. Love no longer means self-sacrifice, and godly submission now becomes oppression. And good mental health simply means overthrowing all inhibitions and restraints, and immediately gratifying every impulse of oneself, especially our desires of the flesh. And so then now, if past history as recorded in the Bible is any guide at all, then it is high time for all of us to wake up. Unless we become aware of what is happening, the Lord may well permit us, by our own stubborn indifference and self-centeredness, to bring upon our own heads a terrible judgment. And so then, as we seek to get ourselves righted, we would all be blessed by listening with attentive ears and open hearts to God's word, and especially the example of Joshua. Joshua was one of the Old Testament fathers of the faith. In his final days, when he was up in age and when he realized that he would soon be departing this life, Joshua called together all the leaders of Israel. And in his final speech, Joshua pleaded with these leaders to reject all false gods and to follow only the true God of the Bible. After speaking for the Lord, Joshua then outlined a lengthy list of enemies that God had helped Israel overcome. Then Joshua said, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you had lived in them. You are eating of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant." Here, of course, Joshua was emphasizing the grace of God and the love of God and the mercy of God. Joshua was destroying any ideas of self-centeredness that God's people might entertain. Joshua then addressed all of the leaders and said, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the false gods which your father served. But as for me and my house," Joshua said, "we will serve the Lord." In his day, Joshua pleaded with his people, "Choose this day whom you will serve, either the true God or the false gods." And today, as the 20th century draws to a close, the plea of Joshua must be cried out again. We are indeed at the same crossroads that Joshua and God's people faced centuries ago. At the beginning of this message, we referred to Christopher Lash's best-selling book. This book is a secular critique of our society. It is not a religious evaluation. The author is a learned man, a professor of a well-known university. And he does not claim to be religious. And yet, even he can see that especially in recent years, our culture has developed a whole list of self-serving cults, which unless there is a radical change, these cults of self-worship will self-destruct, and you and I and our society will be destroyed with them. Of all the false gods of the 20th century, and of all the godless cults today, surely the leading contender for the chief idol is the god of success. Never in history has mankind been so driven by this desire to succeed and to be on top as he has in the 20th century. For example, unless a doctor in a small town has the most expensive-looking home with the largest square footage of living space, he or she is considered at least somewhat a failure. Or businessmen, unless they can brag of acquisitions and branch stores and public stock offerings, they too are frequently considered less than successful. Even the average blue-collar worker often gets caught up in the blind, senseless drive to succeed and to have it all. Consequently, those who make an average salary are stampeded into buying as many things as the budget will permit or the plastic credit card will allow. No wonder Time magazine recently reported that so great is our appetite to succeed, to serve self, and to possess, that the Sabbath day is now reserved for one thing, not for the worship of the true God in church, but for seeking the false gods and the idols of affluence in the shopping center. And let's look briefly at another area, that of women and the drive for success there also. Women today, perhaps they may raise well-mannered and well-schooled children, and they may even contribute greatly to a harmonious marriage. But if they cannot, at the same time, brag about a business career outside of the home, more and more they are now considered not very successful. In fact, so great has become the god of success that even clergy are experiencing the temptation. Those pastors who are not shepherds of a megachurch of 1,000 or more members are often told, if not directly, then through implication, that they certainly could be doing a little better. In our text for today, God is calling you to serve Him, not yourself and not anybody else. Choose for yourself today whom you will serve, and this call to repentance and to crucify one's ego and to sincerely serve the Lord may be a call to which you would like to respond, but your problem is that you feel that you may not possess the confidence that you are good enough or spiritually strong enough to serve the eternal God. And it is for this reason, my friend, that your anxious heart and your troubled soul needs to hear God's gospel of grace. For if you try to serve God by your own strength, then your life is going to be miserable. Every day you will wonder whether you are doing enough and whether you measure up. However, if on the other hand you choose to rely not on your own power, but rather on the power of God to serve Him through the steadfast faith in Christ, then a new life of grace and joy is going to begin for you. In spite of all your weaknesses and failures, you will still have hope. And every time you fail, the God of grace will comfort you. And every time you stumble in your new life in Christ, the Lord will lift you up. However, every time you look back again to yourself for strength and salvation, God the Holy Spirit will remind you of the inspired words of the Apostle Paul, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of good is not. For the good that I wish, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, indeed, my friend, your help is in Jesus. Your help is in the crucified Christ, and your strength is in the resurrected Christ. It is through Him and through Him alone, through Jesus, that your flesh and your self-serving ego will be crucified, and a new life of joy and service will come forth. In fact, my friend, the whole thing boils down simply to this. If we repent of our godless, self-centered attitudes, and then if we try to serve God by our own strength and ability, we will certainly fail. But if we seek Christ as a source of our own strength, then we will be living by the powerful and the positive Spirit of God. Oh, listen to how this is all explained in the Bible. In Romans chapter 8 we read, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And this includes you also. You may realize that you are a sinner, but through faith in Christ, God declares you righteous purely by His grace. The sacred scriptures proclaim that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. He sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, those of us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Living by the Spirit of God is not simply something that a few religious people are called to do. God is calling all men to serve Him. And this is also the reverence for God and the respect for God, which establishes a strong foundation for the nation. The fear of God and faith in God must be the foundation of any country if it is going to long endure. And so, if you and I, by the power of God, are moved this day to decide whom we will serve, let us always be mindful of the massive amount of money now expended every year to tempt us in our decisions and to get us to direct our desires toward ourselves and to those things which will fulfill our egos and our vanities. Denying ourselves, denying our fleshly desires, and seeking to serve God and our neighbor is not an easy task in our generation. A new 300-page book entitled "Why We Look the Way We Do" was recently reviewed by Time magazine. The reviewer stated that the author was absolutely correct when he concluded that our present society is now one where most people have become, and I quote, "perpetually dissatisfied with the way they look and miserable with the way they feel." You, my friend, however, do not have to be part of this downward trend into the sinful slide of self-service. Daily misery and perpetual dissatisfaction need not be your hourly agenda. By the power of God and by His enabling Spirit, make a change today. Make a change for the better. Just as God spoke to His people centuries ago through Joshua, He is now speaking to you today. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Give up on all of your endless quests for self-fulfillment and instead look to God and rest in His grace. You can do this in great confidence. You can make this new step into a new life with a blessed assurance that God is in control of your future and your destiny. Listen to that consoling counsel of God's Word recorded in the Bible, where we read, "What then shall we say of all these things? If God is for us, who is against us? God, who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also then, with Him, with Jesus, freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. And who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, he who was raised, who is now at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. And so then, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him, through Jesus who loved us. And so then, my friend, even if times are difficult for you now, let the Spirit of God convince you that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus your Lord. And so then, choose you this day whom you will serve. Give up on all the things of this world, and serve yourself no more. But begin today to serve the blessed Lord Jesus. Yes, serve him who is now promising you that he can, for you, discard forever all the ugly things of your past, your sins and your failures, and that he can and that he will, for you, make all things new. This, my friend, is God's promise to you, and this, my friend, is what is going to happen when you, by faith, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.